بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There is one class of the kafirs who say إن هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا وما يهلكنا إلا الدهر. Hence, this class of kuffar are called Ad-Dahriya. Ad-Dahriya is that class of people who do not believe in a creator. Namut wa nahya wa ma yuhlikuna illa ad-dahr. Time brings us and time takes us away. So there isn't that creator that you people believe in. It is time. What time we come, what time we go. As a person shifts away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he goes into superstition, he goes into polytheism, he goes into communism or socialism. So all these isms he will go into when he leaves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For by nature, man wants to hold on to something. So he finds something, like a drowning person. He holds on to every grass, every straw. Eventually, when he had nothing, then he held on to a monkey. He holds on to a bacteria, a germ, and he feels that that is his God. So that's the nature of man. You want to hold on to something. He wants to identify with something, he wants to hold on to something, and he has got nothing to identify with. So eventually it brings him to this point. مَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. The point to note is this, that when man has come to this point, a point of godlessness, then what it has done to him. When he's come to godlessness, then what has godlessness done to him? As long as he had God, he had a concept of a creator and a God in his mind, then there was some good in him. Even though he was a polytheist, even though he was a mushrik, but he had the concept of a God, then there is some element of good in him. Because he's got a consciousness of a creator. And when he's got the consciousness of the creator, if he's not doing 100% good, he'll be doing at least 10, 15, 20% good. Though that good will not be sufficient to take him to Jannat, but in the running of the affairs of this life, there will be some goodness in him. But when he makes a calculated effort to remove this totally from him, then there is no good in him. Therefore, you will find in this day and age that the asbab of luxury and comfort is like you never had before. There's so much and so much of asbab, means for luxury and comfort. One comfort or the other, and the amount of luxury and comfort that you have in this age like you never had before. Ordinary person, and he can afford to have an aircon AC in his house, right? Ordinary person, poor person, he can afford to have that. He can afford to have a television set. What's happening in one part of the world, he can see it live here. Immediately it's relayed and he can see it straight away. So the amount of comfort and luxury that man is experiencing this day, he never had that type of luxury and that type of comfort ever before. So the means of luxury, the means of comfort are to the very height. The height is reached up. Then you look at man on the other end. On the one side he's got luxury, he's got comfort. The luxury and comfort, what it was supposed to be doing to him, it was supposed to be making him comfortable, peaceful, happy, etc. Right? But the greater the means of comfort and luxury, the greater the discomfort. Mentally he's traumatized, physically he doesn't feel well, he is distraught. So the greater the means of comfort and the greater the discomfort. Because the actual comfort is the comfort of the mind. And his mind is not comfortable at all. His mind is very uneasy. He's feeling distraught. He's feeling uneasy. Right? They say there were three people traveling. Right? Three or four people traveling, and someone gave them 1 dinar. So the one person said, I will have angur. The other person is fighting with him. He said, no, I will have grapes. Come what may, you can't have the angur, I will have the grapes. Third person said, no, bye. You people just forget everything. I'm going to have inner beer. I'm going to have inner. He's shouting and fighting. He says, no, inner. And he says, no, angur. He says, grapes. The other person was an Indian. So the Indian said, no. Come what may, I'm going to have darak. Now, darak is grapes. Right? In the Gujarati word, darak is grapes. They're fighting one way, no more they're fighting. You know, I will have it my way. Why can't I have it my way? I also have a share in this whole thing. I'm a partner in all this. So why can't I have it my way? That person is shouting, that third person, fourth person, they're shouting, they can't come to any type of understanding. In the meanwhile, one person came. I said, all right, don't worry, I'll try and fix you people up. Just give me that money, I'll fix all, whatever you want, I'll get. I'll get darag for you, grapes for you, inab for you, and angur for you. He went and got a nice 3-4 big boxes of grapes. All jump with joy. Hey, I got that darag, I got that inab, I got that. So the ikhtilaf is ikhtilaf-e-lafzi. Maqsood is one thing. Maqsood is the same thing, one and the same thing. And that is inab, right? That is grapes. Though the ikhtilaf is being ikhtilaf. So the ikhtilaf is only lafzi. So the same when you talk about rahat, then when we employ the different means, employ whatever means we're employing, then the actual intention is the comfort and the solace of the mind. The mind must be at ease. Right? One person was asked, by what you want? He said, no, I want a big farm so that I can live off the farm, my children can live off the farm, we can work the farm and we can get our requirements, our needs can be fulfilled. Second person said, what you want? He said, no, but just get me. See, I got my wife, my children and myself. So if you can get about 5 kilos of flour for every week, and these are our grocery requirements, meat, sugar, dal, whatever, lentils and greens and all that. So you get these requirements and I'll be quite comfortable. Third person, what do you want by? I want a factory. I want a factory. And his mind is also that I'll get that factory. And when I get that factory, then my wife, my children, myself, all of us will be comfortable. Fourth person, what do you want? Me, I want one supermarket. Because every day I'll just pull out the sugar, lentils, greens, oil, whatever I want. I'll just pull it out and I'll be comfortable. The fifth person says, what you want? I want just 1,000 rand every day. Every day I want 1,000 rand. So with the 1,000 rand every day I'll be relaxed. Now if you try and work out what all these five people want, it's one and the same thing. These five people want mental relaxation. But this person sees his mental relaxation in the farm. That person sees it in the grocery shop. That person sees it in the factory. That person sees it in the cash. So what they want is the one and the same thing. Mental relaxation, mental satisfaction, mental ease. But he thinks that the mental relaxation is like this. Mental. The sixth person says, no, what I want, this, what I'll give you the menu for the day, for the whole week I'll give you the menu, and you just prepare the food and bring it to me every day. So he didn't ask for money, he didn't ask for a shop, he didn't ask for a factory, he didn't ask for a farm. What he asked for, he just asked, just prepare this food, this is the menu for the week, you prepare this and just bring it to me. So everybody analyzed the whole thing in his own way. The person that analyzed it with the farm, said, no, the farm, I can grow the crops of my choice, I can eat, I can enjoy. The person had that grocery shop, and he analyzed, I can just pull out the things I want, and I can enjoy myself. And the last person who says, well, just prepare this thing for me, said, no, why must I go through all the headaches and all that, preparing the food, buying and all that. By just get the thing prepared and give it to me. I don't want any headaches. So each person in this five, they want the one and the same thing. What they are looking for is the mental ease, mental relaxation. But the avenues that they have all chosen for themselves may be different. But what they want is one and the same thing. There's no difference of opinion in respect to what they want. They want the one and the same thing. It's just that the plan, they work the plan differently. So in that plan, they became so convinced about the plan that the plan became the goal and the maqsood became the secondary thing. The goal became the secondary thing and the plan became the primary thing. I got this, then I got everything. I got this, then I got everything. So the plan became the primary thing and the goal became the secondary thing. The goal was mental ease and satisfaction. And this person can only get his mental satisfaction if he's got a grocery shop. He's got a farm. He's got a factory. Right? Until he doesn't have it, he won't get his mental satisfaction. Right? So these are all just different avenues. They are not the actual fulfillment. It is the avenue. Right? The avenue is different, and the whole goal is different. Now in this day and age, what happened to us is we got so caught up and enmeshed in this plan that we feel that plan, until and unless I don't have that plan, then I'm not right. I'm uneasy, I'm not right, I'm in problems, I'm in difficulties, why I don't have that plan. So we have got absorbed into that plan. Today he was giving the story. The gist of the story is the same. It says that the theme of the entire Quran Sharif is the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. Exhortation towards the unity of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's the theme of the Quran. But the theme of unity is tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala. That it is Allah Ta'ala that does. So man have to keep on reminding himself that it's Allah Ta'ala that does. Allah Ta'ala that does. Right? Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was thrown into that fire, and Jibreel alayhi salam came to his rescue, and his answer was, "Amma anta fala, amma anta fala. I don't need your assistance." He spoke about a pious person coming to a masjid. Right? Outwardly, he had no means of income, so the Imam sahab went and advised him, "Bhai, you don't have an income. Then what are you going to do for your meals?" So he'd rather do some work, at least we'll have something. He didn't pay attention to the Imam Sahib. Imam Sahib told him for the second time, He still didn't pay attention sufficiently to the Imam Sahib, third time, fourth time. Now the Imam Sahib was sitting on his head. So when he was sitting on his head, so this pious person tells that Imam Sahib, you know what, there is a Jew just living near the masjid. He's got a shop near the masjid. And he has promised to give me 2 loaves of bread every day. So the Imam Sahib tells him that, well, then you don't have anything to worry about, because you've got something guaranteed. Someone has stood an assurance for you that you will get your provisions for the day. So don't worry about it. So now this pious person exhorts and advises the Imam, right? I don't know how they made you the Imam. In the promise of Allah Ta'ala, you don't have that level of assurance. But in the promise of the Jew, you have so much of yaqeen and so much of faith that food is going to come to you. Allah Pak is promising you in the Quran, مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Allah, I will give you, I will provide you. But your trust and your reliance is not in Allah Ta'ala, it's on the Jew. So when you don't have that level of trust in the Quran Sharif, in the word of Allah Ta'ala, then how did they appoint you as the Imam? So you are suspect. Now, alright, if you analyze the story, then there is certain things that you have to understand, that there are different levels of yaqeen, right? Now, it was wrong for the Imam Sahib to admonish this person, go on admonishing. When he was relaxed, he was quite comfortable, he is easy. And the Imam, it was not the Imam's place to keep on admonishing, because he didn't extend his hand to the Imam. He didn't ask for any assistance. He didn't seem to be a shady character or a shoddy character or a shaky person. He was quite settled in his way. So his reliance in Allah Ta'ala was at a different level. When it was at a different level, then it was not right for the Imam to speak to him in this way, to prod him in that way. It was not the place for the Imam. The second wrong of the Imam was that he's put so much of confidence in the plan that he's forgotten the goal. Plan, you must have the scheme. If you don't have the scheme, then you won't get your requirements, you won't get your needs, because you don't have the plan. So you do adopt the plan, you do adopt the means. There's no two ways about it that you don't have. But the means is the means. The mean is not the fulfillment. The means are just the means. Right? This is a bahas on its own. It's a discussion on its own. Right? The person doesn't have the means. Or if he is giving his entire wealth in sadaqah, is it right for someone to make this type of a vow that all my wealth, I will give it out in sadaqah? And they say, for the normal person, it is not right. Though this is just the means, because the wealth is not the thing that you eat. It's a means to an end, right? That wealth in itself, it can't give you any type of satisfaction and any type of ease until it is not transformed, it is not changed. It can't give you any type of fulfillment. It has to be changed. For that thing to give you satisfaction, you have to change it into food or whatever, and that will give you that satisfaction. In itself, it can't give you anything. So for the normal person, they say that it is not permissible. Right? But that person whose level of yaqeen and conviction has come to that level, right, then if he leaves out the means, then it is permissible. But what level he must reach? They say, if he is a married person with children, then he needs to ensure that he will feel totally relaxed, very easy, very comfortable. He won't have even the thought of a doubt in his mind. Not even complaining, but complaints will not even come into his mind. Hey, nothing coming today for me. Where is it going to come from? Where is it going to come from? Which source? What is going to be the means? Where is it going to come from? One person heard one bayan, and he says, no, it is Allah Ta'ala that gives. Allah Pak gives. So, trust in Him, and He will give you. So he thought to himself, it's such an easy prescription, I must just trust in Allah Ta'ala and I will get everything. He left all that work, all whatever work he was doing, from 8 to late he was working, so he left all that work. So now I just trust in Allah Ta'ala and I'll get my ruzi. Now, before that he was a worker, he was getting his 100 rand a day and he was seeing to his requirements. Now, he left everything, nothing coming. He left the town and he went onto the outskirts of the town where the musafirs and travelers are passing by, waiting for something to come. One day passed, nothing. Second day passed, now he's getting ghabrat. He's getting anxiety attacks. When he's getting that anxiety attacks, now he wants to go to the toilet. Anxiety, julab is coming now. So he said, hey, let me go sit next to, let me go and rest near the well, because I'm getting anxiety attacks, my stomach is running, so I need to wash myself all the time. So it's easier for me to be near the well, so I can draw the water out and wash myself all the time. Now one musafir is coming, and the musafir sees this person here, so he's sitting in the opposite direction, having his meals and going. One day passing, second day passed, that, the third day. As the third day is passing, another musafir comes, he sits in the opposite direction, he eats his meals and he's gone. By the fourth day he's finished, he's scratching the earth, he doesn't know what to do. As he's sitting like that, and then fourth musafir goes that way, so he just coughs. So the musafir felt, bichara, he doesn't have anything to eat, therefore he may be coughing. So whatever leftovers he had, he passed it on to him. I got that he ate now. After 3-4 days he ate, he's feeling satisfied. I said, let me go and compliment the Imam. So he went to compliment the Imam. Said, I compliment you. You know, Allah Ta'ala, definitely he will provide. But you have to cough a little bit also, you know. Kankarna bhi padta hai. Khansna bhi padna. So people are at different levels, right? But now what has happened is majority of the people have planted their hopes just in the plan and they've forgotten the goal. And there is a percentage of people who understand the goal and they balance the both. And there is the third level whose yaqeen and certainty, yaqeen and conviction is so high that they're not worried about the plan. That will come to them. In whichever way Allah wants, it will come to them. Don't you see sometimes it happens that the boss has to go to a diet plan. This plan, gymming plan, diet plan, he's got a heart problem and complications. And the workers, they're enjoying steaks, they're enjoying braai, they're doing everything they're doing. Workers are eating everything. But he, bichara, he has to live off the land like how an animal eats. He has to eat so much of lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, all that he must eat. Like how an animal eats, or greens, he must just eat greens. He can't eat. There's a little bit, of meat because you've got some cholesterol and you can't eat so much. So the workers are eating so much and the boss himself, he has to go through a strict diet plan. So, rozi bakhshne wala kon hai? So for this third category, where say someone has given everything away, then he needs to comply, he needs to conform with four conditions. One is he is totally mentally relaxed, very at ease, very much at ease. Like how we're sitting here, right? Just an example. Do we have any anxiety about the iftar? Any worry, any concern? Why? You know, something is coming, right? Mind is relaxed, right? The mind is not feeling uneasy at all. But something is coming, you're feeling very relaxed, right? So his mind is enjoying that level of relaxation. It's going to come. Iftar is going to come. Come what may, iftar time, and there's going to be something there. Right? So mentally he's so relaxed. He's reached that level of yaqeen. If he has reached that level of yaqeen, then his wife has also reached that, reached that level of yaqeen. Right? His wife is not going to complain as well. Not at all. Not to anybody. Not to him. Not to anybody else. Number three is he doesn't have any debts and anything, any person to settle. His going on tawakkul at a very high level, but he's got so many debts to settle, so many people, so many debtors to settle, or so many creditors to settle, right? So he's got no debts to settle. Number four, even his children also are of that level of yaqeen and conviction. If he makes this type of nazar and he gives all his wealth away to Allah Ta'ala, then it is permissible for him to do so. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he had migrated to Medina Munawwara, so Abu Quhafa had come into the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala in Makkah Mukarrama. Perhaps Aisha or Asma radiallahu anhu were there. So he was worried, obviously being the grandfather, okay, Abu Bakr, has he left anything for you? How are you going to continue? He was worried, obviously. So it was, whether it was Aisha or Asma radiallahu anha, what they did, they were small now, young as they were, maybe 8-10 years of age. So Abu Quhafa was blind at the time. So she took some stones or some pebbles and she put a sheet over that and led the grandfather towards this and made him feel, oh, he's left us now, then it's alright, then it's alright. So that means Aisha and Asma radiallahu anha had also that level of yaqeen that is going to come. Because if they were uneasy, that was an opportune time to complain to the dada, dada, he has left nothing for us now, what must we do? And dada would have assisted and supported. But the level of yaqeen was such, like Abu Bakr had that level of yaqeen, satisfaction and mental ease, then these children also had the same level of yaqeen and mental ease, mental satisfaction. So for them to give away the entire wealth is permissible. Just zimni thought, but I was just explaining this because we hear of these incidents, we hear the stories, then we're trying to reconcile this story here, that story here. And we feel to ourselves, we'll never reach to this maqam, all that. So this is it's a explanation to this entire thing. What I was getting at is that the means of comfort and luxury are like they were never before, right? Then if you look at the means of medication has gone so far that it's gone to that level that it was never before. It's gone to such a level that it was never before like that. They got such machines and they progressed to such a level that they can pull out the human heart, work on the heart, pull it out, extract it from the body and keep the man alive still, and then fix it up and bring it, put it back into its place. So they've gone so far. They can do surgery and what they can do. So they've gone so far, but the further they're going, the more complicated the cases are coming. Cases are becoming more and more complicated with all their progress, all their advancement. But there are cases that are coming that is more and more complicating. They can't find a solution to it. They can't find a permanent cure to it. Sugar, can they find a permanent cure to it? They can't find a permanent cure for sugar. Pressure, can they find a permanent cure for it? They can't find a cure. The cholesterol, can they find a permanent cure, lasting, permanent, guaranteed cure? They can't. So the more they're progressing, and the more the cases are becoming complicated, more and more complicated. Then you look at a third thing, look at security, right? See, in life what you want, الَّذِي أَطْأَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. You want physical needs must be all fulfilled, and also you want a good level of security and peace. All around must be peace and security prevailing around you. When you want to settle in any place, what you want? There's two things you want. Khada peena ka masla ho jaye, and there must be peace prevailing all around you. This is the two things that you want. At'amahum min ju' wa amanahum min khawf. Now, the level of security that they have started off today, like never before, so much of security. Nearly every home has got burglar guards. Then it's got an alarm system. Then it's got a CCTV, right? Then it's got a patrol system coming up. And over the patrol, they got a police. And then over the police station, they got a security. that you're getting burglaries right at the police station. Right? So there's so many levels of security. But with all that level of security, still you feel insecure. With all 5-6 levels of security, but still you feel insecure. So you see, in your comforts and luxuries, you've got all the levels. But in spite of having the comfort and luxury at every level, you still feel uncomfortable, mentally uneasy. In medication and treatment, then you see that the strides and the progress that you have made today, you have never made it before. But then the cases are becoming more and more complicated. So much, so complicated that we can't find an end to this. Right? We went and dissected the body, took out this limb here, put this limb here into that limb into this limb. We did everything. We went and hired the woman's womb. Huh? Aren't they doing that? Hiring the womb. I don't want to house the child for whatever reason, so you house the child. And you get more complication on that. Now, the granny went and hired the granny to house the womb, to house the child, the embryo. They fertilized whatever, and then they inserted into the granny. Now the granny says, my child, I mothered the child. I'm getting more complications. Don't you have that case? You have that case now, the mother says, no, I, granny says, no, it's my stuff, but it was housed in you. But I mothered the child, I delivered the child. I delivered the child, it's my child. Now it's a court case running around. So the more they're progressing, the more cases are becoming complicated. Then you look at security, the higher the levels of security, the more you're feeling insecure. So what was the aim? What was the goal? The old goal was satisfaction. You know, I said different people asking for the different things. So it's just a lafzi niza. It's just a verbal, it's verbal, right? A verbal dispute. Really, it's no dispute, but it's just a verbal dispute. Otherwise, it's no dispute. All want the same thing. They want what? Satisfaction. Mental satisfaction. Mental ease. Mental fulfillment. I'm not getting the fulfillment. I've got everything, but no fulfillment. It looks like void. It looks hollow. My whole life looks hollow. So the reason for this hollowness, and this reason for this whole void, is that we have taken out Allah Ta'ala from the entire equation. So you must feel hollow. You must feel dissatisfied. No matter what level you have come, but when you have taken Allah Ta'ala out, then He is the goal, He is the actual doer, He is the maker, He makes it happen, He is the satisfaction. So when you have taken Him out, then how can you ever enjoy any type of satisfaction? How can you enjoy that ease? How can you enjoy that fulfillment? You can't enjoy it. You try what you want, but you can't get that satisfaction. No matter what you will try, what level of means you will employ, but you will definitely find that uneasiness, you will find that ghabraat, anxiety, uneasiness, you must feel like that. It can't go without your feeling uneasy. Therefore you will find that the more ungodly you become, right, and the level of anxiety becomes greater, the level of depression becomes higher, the level of despondency becomes higher, the level of suicide becomes higher, all. Because you can't see beyond. Hey, what's going to happen now? Hey, I lost my job. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You can't see beyond. I have that factory. That factory is gone now. So you can't see beyond. And you get such into into such a ghabraat that you don't know what to do. In a state of ghabraat, anxiety now, you don't know what to do. Because your God was that factory, it was that shop, it was that income, it was that investment, that was the God. When that was the God, that thing was pulled out of the equation, now you don't know what to do. How is my life going to continue? My wife and my children, what am I to do with myself and with them? Either take my life or take everybody's life and take my life again with them. So this is what happens with that ungodly class. You hear about it, we read about it, we talk about it, but this ungodly class, the point it brings them to. What must I do with life? I can't provide for them. They can't fend for themselves. I got this whole thing on my shoulders. What do I do? So the best thing is wipe everybody out with myself. I wipe myself out and everybody else. I got no problems. No worry I got. See, so the highest level of suicide, anxiety, depression, despondency, uneasiness is with this class of people. I don't say others don't have. They may have, but not at this level. This is the highest. So the solution then, what will be the solution, is to bring Allah Ta'ala back into the whole equation. And the more you will bring Him, at the level that you will bring Allah Ta'ala, will you bring happiness into you, you'll bring satisfaction, you'll feel, find a goal, you'll find a direction in your life. At the level that you bring Him, you'll find the direction. It's more clear, it's so clear, it's so vivid, I can see now that's the direction. And I'm absolutely certain about the direction. I don't have any doubts, any qualms about the direction. I'm absolutely clear about it. Otherwise, imagine yourself on a soccer field and you're kicking around. You're running, dribbling everybody and all that. But you don't know why you're dribbling, why you're playing, what's the goal, you don't know. You don't know what's the goal. So, what will you say? The person is playing there. He's playing very well. He's playing and showing all his tricks he's showing. He's heading the ball 20 times on the air, kicking it for 5 minutes, keeping it on the air. He's doing so much of tricks he's doing, he's dribbling everybody and he's going through. But there's no goal. He doesn't know the goal. So what do you say? He's going in circles, man. What do you say? He's going in circles. He's going in circles. He doesn't know the goal. He's a lost case. He'll understand that he's a lost case. The spectators will understand that he's a lost case. Everybody will understand that he's a lost case. That he doesn't know what's the goal. So, to the extent that you know the goal, will you bring a direction in your life? The person is not such a big player, but he knows the goal. So he'll work. There's a direction. Whether he won the match or he didn't win the match, but you say, no, he had a goal. He had a direction. He was moving it. He was going positive. Why? He had a goal. And he doesn't have a goal, then he's nothing. He's a non-entity. We see it in the physical world, don't we see it? Imagine there's a big factory, right? There's a big factory, and there is one person that is coming in and he's walking from one end to the other end, but he doesn't know his place. He's walking from this end to that end, that end to that end, that end to this end, but he doesn't know his place in the factory. What will you say? Why are you wasting time? Why are you wasting time and energy and effort? Time, energy, effort, you're wasting, running around from this side, that side, that side, that side. There's no goal for you. There's no direction for you. Don't you say that? And eventually he will also feel, no, I don't have any direction, any goal. Give me a goal at least. So the person, that worker that has got that goal, even though he's sweeping the floors, even though he's sweeping the floor, but he'll have a level of sanity. He'll have a level of calmness. He'll have a level of fulfillment. His life will be not void, right? Because he's got a goal. I'm appointed. This is my boss. This is the person I will report to. This is my assignment that I'm commissioned to. And this is the boss. This is the person I'm answerable to. This is what he wants me to do. So he will be diligently doing his work. He's got so much of yaqeen in that person. Though the money was not in his account. He hasn't seen the money. Has he seen the money? The money is in the ghaib, isn't it? The money is in the ghaib. But he's got so much of yaqeen in that boss that at the end of the month that thing will be put into his account. He's got so much of yaqeen. Though he hasn't seen it. He doesn't know that the boss got the money or not. But he's got so much of assurance, so much of conviction that come the end of the month and day, it will be in my account. So he feels that level of satisfaction and yaqeen. But if he's walking around, he doesn't have any yaqeen, what's going to happen to him? He'll lose heart, he'll become despondent, he'll become depressed. I'm working here, I'm not getting anything here. Right? So, mankind, where it is standing today, the crossroad that it is in today, is this crossroad, that it has lost the yaqeen. Whether it is the man in the street, it is the alim that is in the madrasa, it is a person living at any sector of society, but he doesn't have the required level of yaqeen that Allah will make it happen. We talk about it, we discuss it, we'll give bayans about it, but do we have that level of yaqeen that is required? We don't have it. So if we want that level of calmness, of satisfaction, happiness, then this is that wahid ilaj. It's the only ilaj that you get that level of yaqeen, you find everything falling in place. Everything will be falling in place and that car is moving very, very well. Otherwise, it's a car that you're pushing now. Go to, from here to Spring Wales, so two passengers sit down, three passengers are pushing. That thing, can it work? Can't work. Spring Wales, that also will be a laughing, everywhere laugh. What shall I do here? Pushing. Maybe some place in Spingo Beach you can manage it because you're going down the hill, right? Come to Spingo Hills then. You'll have to tell the two sitting passengers that you also get out. So what are you pushing the car for? What are you taking the car for then? So you put that engine in that car, let that thing work, that thing will take you itself. So that's the missing ingredient. That missing ingredient is the engine of Iman. You want that engine of Iman, that thing will take you itself. But it's not, I must push this car. All the passengers came out and they're pushing the car. This is where we're standing. Aren't we a laughing stock? Really, if you leave that yaqeen, you are a laughing stock. Really a laughing stock. Really, we're a bunch of fools. And the moment you put the yaqeen back, and the yaqeen is not what we envisage, what we imagine, it must be the real yaqeen. You have to keep working upon it. Think about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his promises. Think about Allah Ta'ala, his promises. Keep thinking about it. Ask for it. Think about it. And behave like how he wants you to behave. Then you find that yaqeen is growing. Now that engine is becoming from an ordinary engine to V5. And then it came to V8. Like we saw in Makkah, Medina. The man has got a V8 engine. And cruising away 200 is just cruising. Like 120, someone is traveling here. Such a capacity he's got. Such a capacity he's got. So then you'll have a V8 engine. And then, if Allah Pak wills, it'll be even better than that. It'll be like a jet engine. It'll be flying with the malaika. It'll be traveling and you'll be making that type of strides. But all this is revolving around your level of yaqeen. What is the level of yaqeen Allah Pak does? Is it just the talk, flowery talk we're giving, or is it really what we mean? So that has to come from the word, it has to come into reality. If you think like that, behave like that, work like that, understand like that, and beg Allah Ta'ala in these days, Allah, give me that level of yaqeen. Not that you ask me for yaqeen because of laziness. Now, tired of working now, Allah, I'm tired of working, give me yaqeen now so that I can sort it out. No. Because you need to have yaqeen in your life. Yaqeen in the ghaib, you have to have it in your life. Whether you're working or not working, but you need to have that level of yaqeen in your life because it is a motor car without an engine otherwise. You got the parts, but you don't have the main part, you don't have it. Allah Pak tawfiq naseeb fir.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Today we will discuss some of the adab pertaining to ghusl. That when a person intends to take a bath, take a ghusl, then he should look for a secluded place, that way he will not be in the view of people. Then it is best that a person keeps his private area concealed even whilst having a bath. And then it's also advisable and preferable that a person takes a ghusl while seated and whilst keeping himself lowered, though it is permissible while standing. Then when taking a bath, the best would be just to use a very little amount of water using a bucket and a jug. And if one is having ghusl in such a way, then the mustahab and preferable manner would be to first pour water over the head, allow the water to run down the body, then pour for the second time on the right side, on the right shoulder, and then for the third time on the left shoulder, and in this way the entire body would be covered. Then when making ghusl, then prior to the ghusl, it is sunnah that the sunnah method would be that a person first takes complete wudu, making proper gargling the mouth, etc. And thereafter, a person will take the ghusl. Then there are certain occasions when ghusl will be farz upon a person. That one is where, for example, a person experiences a wet dream, or with some shahwat and desire, there is ejaculation of money and semen, or the husband and wife engage in relations with each another, then ghusl will also be farz. Or a woman, her haiz terminates, or her nifas terminates, then ghusl will also be farz. And then there would be certain occasions when ghusl will be sunnat and preferable, for example, on the day of Jumu'ah or on the days of Eid, etc. So then it will be sunnat and mustahab for a person to have ghusl. Then also it will be advisable that if a person notices that there is some foul smell coming out of his body and it will be some type of taklif and inconvenience to those around, then it is advisable for such a person to also have a shower or take a bath in order to remove those foul smells. Then also when a person is going to be dressing himself after taking that bath, after taking that shower, then a person shouldn't keep himself undressed for a long period of time. But as soon as a person dries his body or dries his satr first, then a person should begin covering his private areas, and thereafter he can wipe the rest of the body so that the body is not remain undressed for a long and lengthy period of time. Then whilst taking a bath, one should not engage in any talk with another person. For example, if there are a few cubicles and one from one bathroom speaks to the other person, or that a person whilst taking a bath should not engage in any dhikr or tilawat or anything like that, but rather a person should remain silent. And also when taking a ghusl, one should not face the qibla, but rather face in any other direction.